Hope everybody had a good night. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. We are continuing this morning in the class that I teach on Wednesday nights. And if you're in the class, you need a book. And if you're visiting, if you'd like to have one, I'd be glad to give you one. Anybody else? We are studying the passage in 2 Peter, the first chapter, where Peter is exhorting us to add to our faith. And there are seven virtues there that he gives us that we are to add to our faith. How important is faith in the life of a Christian? Extremely important. What does Hebrews say about how important it is? You have to talk louder than that, Todd. I cannot hear you. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And it says, for he that cometh to God must what? Two things. Must believe that God exists. I mean, why else would you call on God if you didn't? But you also, it's not just a matter of saying, okay, I believe that there is a God. But I believe in the promises that he has and all about him, and that he is going to reward those who seek him. And we are hopefully part of that group. But reading right here, right quickly, I'm going to just go back and read through this in 2 Peter 1. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great and exceeding precious promises, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love, as the King James says. These are the things that each Christian needs to be adding to his faith. What is faith? Define faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In my eSword program, I've got about 10 different versions of the scriptures there. And it's interesting how, the King James says the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The New American Standard says the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And those mean the same thing. But you ever wondered what faith really means? Trust and confidence. What else? What are some synonyms, get that word out, that we use for faith besides trust and confidence? Give me some others. Belief, that is, that fact. Faith is what? A noun? What is believe? Belief is a noun, but believing or believe is a verb. But they go together because they mean the same thing. Some other ones that give the American Standard and the ESV also say the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction. New King James, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I liked what Kenneth Woost said in his. the title deed of things hoped for, the proof on things which are not being seen. So faith involves an area that we don't see. And what area does that mean? The spiritual realm, the eternal realm. Spiritual realm, definitely. And God is some person, or the person that we haven't seen. Exactly. Mike, did you have your hand? Yeah, and I want to add to that, because I has put this a little bit further down in my lesson, but this is a good point. Consider that you were dropped out in the middle of nowhere, in a wilderness that had no trails, had nothing. What would you do? Would you wonder how you got there? Would you wonder why you're there? Would you wonder where you're at? And where am I going to go? What is life? A life is a journey. And we, to a large extent, are I'm going to use the word dumped. That may not be the best word. But we are put into that same situation as if you had been dropped off somewhere that you didn't know. And left to our own devices. We're in a place that, how did we get here? Why are we here? Where are we going? And how do we get to that place that we don't even know where we're going to be? Tom. And that's what Paul said to the Romans, if I remember correctly, that they're without excuse. They didn't believe in God. They had their own gods. But they, what kind of gods did they serve? Idols, stone, wood, whatever else, the heavens. But what does that tell them? Nothing. It doesn't give any answers, but there is a God that does. But to be able to access that God means what, first of all? I've got to go find him. I've got to search for him. And I can imagine people that don't have a faith. I started, when Buddy Payne was here and we talked about the belief in God and as one of the things, but he handed out a bibliography of books, and I've bought a couple of them. And one of them is titled "What Darwin Got Wrong." And as I was reading it, I started reading it a couple of weeks ago. And in the beginning parts of it, the writers start talking about the fact that they believe that Darwinism, what Darwin believed about the general theory of evolution, is wrong. But then there's another paragraph in there, and when I read it, it's almost like a jaw-dropping moment. It says that, and just paraphrasing it because I don't remember it exactly, but the writers here say that we are card-carrying, red-blooded, dyed-in-the-wool atheist. None of the collaborators on that book believe in God, but they don't believe in evolution. And that made me wonder, how in the world can you believe in neither of those? How did we get here? and of course, I've got to do a lot more reading. But it goes back to faith. I think a lot of it does. The word faith comes from the Greek word pistis, and it means strong persuasion. Strong in his dictionary says this. It's persuasion that is credence and moral conviction of a religious truth, assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. Thayer says it's a conviction of the truth of anything, believing, a strong conviction or belief. So whenever we talk about faith, if I say that I have faith in Joel, what does that mean? Confidence, and I trust him. There's a song that we sing about I Am the Way, and one of the verses in there says, I remember how it goes, come unto me, be not afraid. Right, Todd? What does that mean? Exactly. Trust me. So when God says, have faith in me, trust me. Who else can we trust? We can't. We can't trust anybody else. And as I looked at the word here, and in our book that you have there, Brother Rogers covered the same things. I'm covering them maybe a little bit differently. The word for faith is comes from. We're talking about its substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Greek word for substance is hypostasis. That word. Hupo is part of it, and histemi is the other part. I'm not a Greek scholar. And hupo means to place underneath or beneath something, and histemi means to stand. Or what is meaning? Faith is that thing that stands under what we hope for. The substance of things hoped for. What is hope? When you hope for something, what do you... I don't want to give away the word, but what do you expect? Or do you expect anything? Alan? Right. It's desire plus expectation. I don't hope to inherit $1 million. Would I like to? Sure. But you know what? It ain't going to happen. There's no way. Now, somebody may give it to me, but I'm kind of doubtful. So hope has got that confident expectation that you're going to get what it is that you're wanting. So it's the assurance of things hoped for, but it's also the conviction of things that we don't see. That realm that's out there that God is in, the world that we don't see. We've never seen God. Now, men did see Jesus, God in the flesh, but only in that way. Because what did God tell Moses whenever Moses said, show me your glory? He said, no man can see me and live. We're not made to stand in that kind of glory. We're not. But we do have a hope of seeing him. On page 22 of the book that you have, it says here that Heath wrote this: the Christian has hope. We hope for Christ's return, the resurrection of our bodies, and for our entrance into heaven. The objects of our hope cannot be physically seen or grasped. Let's look at Romans 8:24. God, if you don't mind reading that, please. This is about hope. All right. Go ahead. Patience. That's one thing. Hope, something, and that's what the scripture says. Hope is something we don't see. Remember there at the end of when Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit, he said, now abideth what? Is the end of it. When he says that these gifts are going to be done away with. But he says, now abides what? Faith, hope, and love. And faith is got an element of hope to it because we don't see it. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. Mike, please. You know, doesn't Peter say the same thing in the last part of his second letter? That everything that you see, what's going to happen to it one day? It's going to dissolve. The heavens will melt with fervent heat. And he's talking about the elements. Everything in it will be gone. Well, this isn't going to be here. But we have faith that something goes on. But Brother Heath continues on and says, but our faith holds them up. The objects of our hope cannot be physically seen or grasped, but our faith holds them up as being real, just as real as any physical object we can touch. Is God real? Yes. Can I touch him? No. I can touch what he's done. I can see it. But I can't touch or see God. He quotes from McClister's commentary, and this is, I thought this was really interesting at the bottom of page 22. It says, when one hopes for something, beneath that anticipation lies a firm belief or trust that the thing not yet possessed actually exists, and its possession is certainly attainable. True faith is sure, confident, and bold concerning that for which the believer hopes. Get that again. True faith is sure, confident, and bold concerning that for which the believer hopes. If you believe in heaven and you hope to go to heaven, what is that to you then? It's real. It's real. And it has to be. Because if it wasn't, if you didn't believe it was real, what would you do? We wouldn't be seeking for it. It is not, he continues, it is not hesitant or doubtful, talking about faith. Instead, it looks confidently to the future and considers the promises of God as sure as if they were already fulfilled. A Christian that has faith, true faith, can look to that if he's serving God faithfully and say, that's mine. I've got a home. I'm waiting to go there. When we talk about faith being the evidence of things not seen, Greek word for that says that it means proof, conviction, or evidence. Thayer says it's a proof of that by which a thing is proved or tested. My faith rests on those things. My hope. And the evidence that we have. Look at what Hebrews 11:27. As the writer there is talking about Moses, and we realize that Moses looked forward to the reward. But there is something there in verse 27. It says this: by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, did Moses see God? No, but he had a pretty close brush with God, Alan. Where did that faith come from? By who? Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but it's just the point. Yeah. Yeah, all of them, from Abraham all the way up through the point where they actually possessed the land, had that promise to them that you're going to inherit this land. And that was a physical promise. Well, it says, you know, I will cover you, and then whenever I pass, you will see my back parts. Does God have back parts to see, being a spirit? I thought that. Did you hear what Todd said? He asked, did Moses actually see the back parts of God? I can't answer that 100%. You're really, Todd, you know that too. But I've wondered that. But if God is a spirit, he doesn't have a body. And so I don't know what, but I think it may mean, you know, that we just can't. Things are going to pass by. And he got to see more than what we'll ever see, probably in this life. But I hate to say this, but sometimes you think like I do, or I think like you do. I'm not sure which one of those is the right one. Faith, however, is not the end product. What's going to happen to faith? It's going to be realized. That verse we were talking about in Corinthians, where it says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three." But what is the greatest one? Why? It endures forever. We will have more love in heaven than we've ever seen here. Although God showers us with his love, we have his blessings. We will have more. We will have more grace. We'll have more of everything. We'll have everything that we need. But faith is not the end point. Faith is the foundation. We talked a little bit about that Wednesday. as we were coming this morning to services, we passed by on East Sherman Lane a piece of property that somebody had started a foundation. They had the foundation, they had the garage, and that was it. It's been sitting there for a few days, a few weeks maybe. But what's it going to be eventually if they continue with what they're doing? It's going to be some kind of dwelling. So faith for us is that foundation. It's not going to be the end result. The end result will be when we make it to heaven. And then we'll see, and we won't have faith. Faith is to be built upon or added to, just like that house that's going to be built there or whatever it is. When we started with this one right here, in Hebrews, and faith is the first step. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, and I got those unlisted. One of them is impossible. You can't please God without faith. And it's necessary that if we come to him that we must believe that he is, and we talked about that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Robertson, in his commentary, said this: the very existence of God is a matter of intelligent faith, so that men are left without excuse. And that goes back to what Tom was saying a while ago about the Gentiles. They had to believe. They were not excused because they didn't. Well, we weren't Jews. We weren't raised with the law. No, but you should have known God. We talked about Moses a little bit. How do we get faith? How do I get more faith? Study the Word. Okay, but that's one of those things that The apostles one time asked Jesus, or it said to him, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Remember we talked a little bit Wednesday night about the man that came to Jesus after he'd come down from the mountain of transfiguration, and he was complaining about the apostles that his son was possessed by a demon and would be thrown in the fire and the water. And he said, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't help him. And this was after they had gotten the power from Jesus to do that. And he said, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus chided the apostles because he said, you didn't have the faith. Because they asked, why couldn't we do that? And he said, because of your unbelief. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. In fact, in that particular instance, I think he said, this one comes out only by much prayer, and I think fasting too, or maybe just much prayer. Faith is something, and as I've worked through this, when asked about faith, let me find that verse where he says, and it's in Luke 17 in verse 5, he says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And instead of saying, sure, I'll be glad to do that for you, here's what Jesus said in the very next verse. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What do we learn about the mustard seed as we go through some of the things, parables of Christ? How big is it? No, the seed. The seed is tiny. What does it say? It said it is the smallest seed of all of them. Now, I don't know how little that makes it, but if you talk about something very, very, very tiny, and he said if you had that much faith, you could do it. But when he says increase our faith, he's not saying, okay, I'm going to increase it. What does he tell us to do? What does faith have to have, ultimately? If I've got faith, I have to use that faith. It takes works. Faith alone is not going to do it. I think when in some places he had people that came to him, Jesus would see people that weren't Jews, that weren't believers in Jehovah of the Bible, because they didn't have that word, and he would say, I've never seen such faith in Israel as the faith that this person has. And then he turned to people that should have had the faith, like Peter, James, and John, and chide them for not having that faith. Turn to Matthew 14. This is the story when Jesus came walking on the water. Matthew 14 and 26, it says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Then he said this, be not afraid. What does that equate back to something we talked about a while ago in that song? Trust me. Have trust. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's an amazing story. I can't imagine how that person could even do that in the first place. But the Lord was doing it, definitely. And Peter started doing it. But when he saw, it said in verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. There's one of the things that hurts our faith. He began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of what? Little faith. Tiny faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? And those words there, as I looked it up, the unbelief. It was lack of confidence. He didn't have the confidence in Jesus. He was distracted. But he should have pushed his eyes back. What? He put his eyes back on Jesus. But he was distracted. He lost confidence in what he could do because it wasn't him doing it. But how much faith did Peter have in the beginning? More than the other 11, if they're there on the ship with him, they didn't get out and walk on it, apparently. He had a lot more faith than maybe than we could have in that instance. But he didn't complete what he was doing. He didn't keep his eyes focused on Jesus. Faith is essential. And he talks about this on page 25 in the conclusion that's there. Without it, we would not know how to live in this world, how to maintain fellowship with God, or how to secure salvation. Because our faith has to be what propels us to the point of doing the things that God wants us to do. These lessons are about adding to our faith. Let's go back to Hebrews. I want to go back to Hebrews 11. When we talk about faith, listen to the people, the names that are here that are talked about in their faith. And these are examples to us. Who's the first one? Abel, then Enoch, then Noah, Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, Joseph, Moses. He keeps on going down. He talked about the Red Sea, walls of Jericho, Rahab. And he talks then about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, other prophets, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Men that had faith, that had true faith, belief in God, not just belief in the sense of, I believe that there's a God. What did the Hebrews tell him whenever Nebuchadnezzar said, you don't fall down and worship me, I'm going to throw you in that furnace of fire? What did they say? We just talked about that. Our God is able to save us from that. And if he chooses not to, that's okay. But we're not going to serve you. We will serve God. What did James say about faith? James, the second chapter. James talks about faith a little bit. Faith without works is dead. And he goes a little bit further and he talks about that. In verse 24 of chapter 2, he says, you see then how that by works faith, by works a man is justified and not by faith only. I'm to have faith. I'm to believe that there is a God. I'm to believe in the power of God and to what he can do for me. I understand the limits that are there as well. I can't ask for things that are not against his nature or against his will, but that he will do for me and for you what we need done to get through this world into the next one. Because remember, the first part of that Second Peter verse was that he's given us everything that pertains to what? Life in this world, and then godliness being what it's going to take to get to that next world. James continues down. And verse 25 says, like also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead also. Faith alone is not going to do it. But also with Peter, it's not going to do it. Because he says over here, and for Wednesday night, we will get in back into that. But I'm just read it. He says, add to your faith these things. Yeah, I'm going to read to you something that Kenneth Woost in his, really he got it from Mike, from Vincent. When we talk about adding these things to our faith, it's not just a matter of saying, okay, I'm going to be virtuous. I'm going to be temperate. I'm going to be whatever these things are. Here's what Vincent says about the translation here. He says, the verb rendered add is derived from the word chorus, a chorus such as was employed in the representation of Greek tragedies. The verb originally meant, quote, to bear the expense of a chorus, end quote, which was done by a person selected by the state who was obligated to defray all the expenses of training and maintenance. It was a duty that prompted to lavishness in execution. Hence, the word that's used here, choreographer, means to supply the cost for anything of purpose, a public duty or religious service, with attending here towards the meaning providing more than is barely demanded. Thus, the word means to supply in copious measure, to provide beyond need, to supply more than generously. Saints are to supply or provide in their faith virtue. Then he goes and says that the Authorized Version exhorts to add faith, one virtue to another, but the Greek says it's to develop one virtue in the exercise of another one, each new grace springing out of and attempting to be perfected in the other. Here's what he says in the King James, just says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and so forth. And other ones say, have it this way. It should be this way. In your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and so forth. The exhortation is that in faith which saints exercise in the Lord Jesus, they should provide, as you provide one, you provide the other. So this is not just, okay, I'm going to add this one. I've got it. I've got virtue. Check. Temperance. Check. Patience. Yeah, maybe. Okay. Godliness, brotherly kindness, love. I've checked them all off. Have I done what God said? Not, probably not entirely. Because these are to be done together. I can't just add one and forget about the other. They're all coming in. And as I thought about this, if I'm adding one, with this one adding that one, and with that one adding that one, and with that one adding that one, am I doing them separately? Doesn't sound like it. Growing. Adding them as, and we can only add what we can handle. I don't think God says, hey, look, if you can't do this, try it. Peter couldn't walk on water, but he tried. So as we add these to faith, remember, faith is that foundation. You start adding walls. You start adding exterior, interior, ceilings and things. And once you've done that, what have you got? You got a house. Got a place, whatever it is that you're trying to build. As we go through our lives, we are to add these things, not just a little bit. Well, I believe a little bit more. No. Work at your faith. Make sure these things are what they need to be in our lives, and that's something that we all need to do. Any comments or questions? We'll be dismissed then. Thank you very much for your comments.